I'd like to thank KTMS 990 and Montecito Bank and Trust for making Scam Squad possible. I'm Patty Teal.
And I'm Deputy District Attorney Vicki Johnson. Scam Squad is up next.
Sound off.
1, 2.
Sound off.
3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Scam Squad.
Welcome to Scam Squad. I'm Patty Teal here, as usual, with Deputy District Attorney Vicki Johnson and one of our all-time favorite guests. Vicki, I'll let you do the honors.
Hi. Yes, today we have with us criminologist Judy Crispin Yates, who gives us wonderful information every month with her financial exploitation newsletter. So welcome, Judy. And today, Judy is going to be talking about tax scams. We know that tax season is here, and so are the scammers. They are always looking for another opportunity to get our money, and tax season presents many opportunities for them to do that. So, Judy, tell us what we need to be careful about.
Well, first, thank you for having me back on Scam Squad. The first discussion is about a very common type of scam, just in general, but it definitely shows up during tax season, and that is impersonation. That is when somebody calls, emails, or sends you a snail mail, and they're pretending to be the IRS. They're saying they represent the IRS, and they tell you that you owe money, or maybe you're even getting a return. And therefore, they're requesting a lot of your personal information, like account information, and it all needs to be coming to them so that they can resolve the problem for you. But they're not really the IRS, and frequently they resort to threats.
And also on that note, one of the oldest scams is somebody calling and telling you that they're from the IRS, and they may even have a badge number or some sort of identification. And sometimes the number for the IRS will even be spoofed, so you will see it on your caller ID. And they get pretty aggressive. They tell you that you owe money and that a warrant has gone out for your arrest. And if you don't send money right away, they will send somebody out to execute the warrant. And of course, how do they want you to send money? Oh, gift cards will do, or Western Union, or maybe they'll even send somebody over to your house to collect it. But what you have to know is that the IRS will never call you and demand money. They will never say that there is a warrant out for your arrest. If they contact you, it will be by mail. And if you do owe money, they will give you an opportunity to contact their office and make payment arrangements over time if necessary. So don't be fooled by those phone calls. They're scammers. What else have you got for us, Judy?
Well, this year we're talking about artificial intelligence, AI. And what that is, for those of you that haven't heard anything about it, is a random language generator. It's just a database that has a lot of information in it. And you get to ask a question. You go to the website or you type in a question, and immediately you get the most amazing response with great punctuation. And so you might say, in California, may I write off something? And it'll come back right away and it'll give you an answer. Unfortunately, when it comes to these chat-generated pre-trained transformers, you cannot trust what they say. It is not trained to think and understand what you are asking. It is trained to predict the next word in a sentence. And I have to tell you, it is astounding, but it doesn't mean the information is correct. So be very, very careful. Then we go on to phishing scams. Once again, those are emails, texts, messaging, snail mail, and they're even sending delivery people, phony delivery people. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Phishing, it's spelled P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, but it's just like when you go to fish, F-I-S-H. Same thing, they're throwing information out there, trying to get you to respond. And one of the new schemes is involving a cardboard envelope like you can get at the U.S. Post Office. But they're having somebody deliver it to your house. Looks like a normal delivery truck. And they hand it to you. And inside, it tells you that you might be getting a refund and you need to respond and click and phone and email and do all these things. But it is just like Vicki said, these are not legitimate.
Regarding the AI, do you think at some point in years to come, they will become accurate?
Well, I hope so. It's really not so much having a simple answer like that. There are databases. So it started with OpenAI. They were the original one that went online so that we could all check it out. But what has happened is now that since it's open source information, other people are creating databases, and some of the databases are very biased. And some of them, they just talk about whatever frame of reference that interests them. So it may be something not legitimate. It's kind of like following a cult leader in a way. If you get the right one, okay, you might be okay. If you get the wrong one, you're going to be in a world of hurt.
Sounds like our news stations, you get different news depending on which one you watch.
That's true. And it's even worse than the news because at least that's public and we can talk about it. If you go to a database, it's not necessarily everybody that you talk to can discuss that particular information. But yes, you can go to certain channels on the news and you can get a biased view. In ChatGPT, it may not only be biased, it may absolutely have misinformation on purpose.
One of the other things that you talked about was ghost tax preparation. What does that refer to?
Yes, that's one we talked about last year. It's been around for a long time, but that is about the person that is doing taxes for you. So it turns out you may have a friend of a friend that says, oh, my tax preparer got me back all this money, and they can give you W-2 forms. And I mean, they're just great. What you need to do is always check and make sure that that person has a tax preparer tax identification number, PTIN. You can go to the IRS and you can check that out. And when they finish with your return, a legitimate tax preparer is required to print their name, to sign their name, and also to have that tax ID number. If they don't do that, then for sure, you know that they are not legitimate. And another word about the fake W-2 forms, if they do that for you, they're doing that because they want to base the amount that you're paying them on how much they're going to get back. So, oh, we'll get you back this much, but you're going to have to pay this. Well, they like to turn in the W-2 forms that are fake because they say that more money was withheld. So you're going to be paying them a certain amount of money, big money, and the IRS is going to come after you. And it's a $5,000 fine for bogus W-2 forms. So be careful. Also, I'd like to say that we need to take care of our deaf and hard of hearing individuals and remind them that the video relay services, VRSs, that they use, we know that scammers are actually using those, and the deaf and hard of hearing individuals are becoming victims just like everybody else. So take a look.
Good warning. You know, I just got from one of my new favorite sites, Scamicide, the scam of the day. And coincidentally, it tells us to watch out for TurboTax scammers. So TurboTax, as we know, is a very popular online tax preparation service. Identity thieves are taking advantage of that popularity. They're calling people posing as TurboTax employees and informing the targeted victim that his or her electronically filed income tax return has been rejected by the IRS. And of course, they're going to be ever so helpful and help you get this rejected form filed. But in doing so, they're going to want all kinds of personal information about you, including your social security number, so that then they can make you a victim of income tax identity theft. And of course, another thing that you have to worry about is people getting a hold of your personal information through identity theft and then filing a return in your name, but with returns going to them.
The IRS has done a very good thing, and they have now created what is called an Identification Protection PIN, an IPPIN PIN. And what that is a six-digit number, and you can think of it like a multi-factor identification. So you just go to the IRS website, and you put in IPPIN, and you can sign up for that. So the IRS is taking steps trying to help you not be a victim. And also filing early. I know last week on Scam Squad, you mentioned that filing early is better because the IRS only allows one return at a time per year. So if the scammer gets it in first, they're not going to let you file online, for example. You're going to have lots of problems.
Judy, those are good recommendations for avoiding being a victim of a tax scam. But if you think that you have been a victim of a tax scam, where can you go to get more information and where can you file a complaint?
I would go to irs.gov, the first place. And they have a search bar, so you can find out whatever type of information is that you want to ask them. Also, there's a place to file a complaint on there. But then one of our popular ones happens to be FTC.gov. That's Federal Trade Commission. And their mission is to protect the consumer from deception. So they have lots of valuable resources that are available. And then if your scammer takes you online, has you online, and that's a problem, then go to IC3. That's the FBI computer complaint place to report. And they also have good information as well.
Judy, do you have some overall tips for us to protect our privacy and our finances?
Oh, I definitely do. So I know you've heard some of these before, but keep all of your devices current on updates and virus protection, and never answer a phone call if the display comes up and it's someone you don't recognize or it has no name. Make them leave a message. And even then, be really, really careful. Remember that when you look things up on Google, now that is a problem. We used to tell you that all the time. Oh, look it up on a search engine like Google. Well, now we know that scammers are paying to look like a legitimate organization with a letter changed. So be very careful. They're called doppelgangers, by the way, when they do that, fake lookalike sites on there. Hang up whenever in doubt, and hang up if somebody requests money, for heaven's sakes, or personal information, gift cards or crypto. Just take your time. Never respond to any text or email by clicking. Do your homework, go offline, don't click, check things out. What they want to do is get you stressed, confused, they're going to threaten, demands are made. It just is hard to think at that point. I recommend keeping a current list offline, just a pen and paper, and include all the information on your credit cards, like customer service, who to call if you have a problem. Do the same for your financial accounts, anything, your medical, whatever it is, so that if you have a problem, you can go to that list and you know who to call right away.
That's really an excellent piece of advice, because I had this come up when I was doing a presentation. I was telling people, never call the number or the contact that they give you if you get one of these messages saying that there's a problem somehow with your account. Always go to a source that you know is accurate. And somebody asked, but what source would that be? And of course, I could answer it for credit cards. You go to your credit card and look at the customer service number there. Your bank statement will give you the number to call there. But what about an institution like the IRS? Where do you go to get a legitimate number? We don't always keep the number for the IRS around, and we don't always have tax documents that we can look at. So finding what you know is a legitimate number for agencies that you're going to be involved with, like your bank, like your credit card, like the IRS, and having a list of those numbers, I think, is a really good idea. Because if you get one of these scam calls, or if you get one of these scam emails or pop-ups, and they want you to dial a number, don't do it. Go to a number that you know is legitimate if you have a question. And exactly. Like you're saying, we can't trust Google anymore. It's a sad thing to say, but we can't.
That's and we true. Talked about that before when people make phone calls with Alexa. Alexa, dial so-and-so. They might pick up the phony Google site. So you have to be so careful that way too.
Yeah.
Your tax form, you have all those numbers. Okay. So this is the time to write them down. I also recommend you take a photo of that list. Maybe you have two lists, whatever. That way you have it on your phone if you're not at home. You can always go to your list if you lost your credit card or whatever. You know, really stay away from the search engines, because scammers are willing to pay money. It used to be when scamming started out, they were not willing to pay money because it was very cost effective at that time. We were new. We would do things they wanted us to do. Now we are a little bit smarter, so they are willing to pay money and be upfront of that list is what I'm trying to say.
Those scammers have come a long way, sadly.
They have. And also, when you go to a search engine, whatever it happens to be, like Google, remember, look over to the side, the left side, it has sponsor or it has ad. That means that person, that company, legitimate or not, paid to be up there. It used to be I'd scroll down one or two and find the real thing. Now I can scroll down quite a long ways to find something legitimate. And if you're buying products, one of the things that I highly recommend is go to that search engine and type in pros and cons of tax software. or go to a service like Forbes or Kipling and just type in and see what they recommend, some legitimate business recommends. And then back to our list, I want you to back up at least monthly, because one of the things that happens is if someone gives your computer a virus or takes over your account, they start putting stuff on your account and boy, you're in big trouble. So if you have a backup, then when you go to get help, then they can go back and reestablish back to the point where you didn't have that problem. In that regard, you need to know in advance, put it on your list that you are making by hand. Where are you going to take that computer? I want you to be smart about where you're going to get help to do that sort of thing. And know that, for example, with the Geek Squad, Geek Squad is legitimate. It's with Best Buy. You do have to pay for their service, of course, but it's one of the legitimate ones. I always recommend go to one that is not selling anything. Best Buy does sell stuff. So be careful if they ask you to, you know, to buy extra things, but they are legitimate. But scammers are pretending to be the Geek Squad. They will call you. That's that phishing scam. They will call you and say, your warranty is up, you know, blah, blah, blah. Turn over your account. They'll download it for you. So if you have a backup, then whoever it is fixing it can take care of it. And maybe you're smart enough to do that. I don't happen to be. And last but not least, I want to remind everybody that scammers are criminals and they're getting very, very organized. They're in syndicates. They have scripts. They are trained how to treat victims and how to get information. Their sole purpose is to get your personal information and or your money. So be very, very careful.
Well, that is very important information. And I'm kind of starting to think that if you have a problem with your computer, don't Google Apple tech support or anything like that, because you're probably going to come up with a scammer. The best thing you can do is take it in personally to someplace that has the Geek Squad or to a professional that you have used in the past and that you know is legitimate. I don't know that we can really trust going online and finding a legitimate tech support person and then having them take over our computer. I think that's kind of a dangerous thing to do these days. So
yes, that's very, very true. One of the things that I've found, people that the scammers that have taken over computers, one of the victims that I had, oh, they were going to fix it themselves. So they called and let me know, yeah, it's not a problem anymore. And I go, how do you know what they saw? Because that person had their camera exposed. You can put a piece of masking tape over your camera, which I definitely recommend, so that if you are obviously in a Zoom and you need to have that camera working, somebody's going to say, I can't see you. But if a scammer can see you, they read your body language when you're scamming them, they know what to say. And yes, I do recommend taking it to somebody very knowledgeable. In this day and age, sometimes it's your grandchild, but they really need to know technology.
Good. Well, thank you once again, Judy, for this very timely advice. We really need to be careful, as always these days, particularly around tax time. So thank you for all of your tips and all of your warnings and helping us stay safe and stay secure. Now, I did get something recently. This was a press release from the U.S. Attorney's Office, and I wanted to share this. This is very quick, but I thought we should know about it. U.S. Attorney's Office warns of COVID fraud scam. We thought we were done with COVID fraud scams, but apparently not. So apparently, this is how it works. The victim receives a document warning that he or she is being investigated for fraud under the Paycheck Protection Program, also known as the PPP. And we know there was tons of fraud underneath that program, tons and tons of fraud, billions of dollars lost. So it's a little bit scary to get a document saying that you're being investigated for this kind of fraud. But the document will state that an arrest warrant has been issued and that in order to lift the warrant, the victim needs to go to a cryptocurrency kiosk to make a payment. So be very, very careful about this kind of fraud. If you get a document like that, do not go to a cryptocurrency kiosk. Do not make any kind of payment. If you're concerned, go to your local law enforcement office and see what they have to say about it. So that's the warning that I have for today. And I also have some good news. This is kind of interesting. This is pretty recent. Apparently, New York Attorney General Letitia James recently announced her office's lawsuit against Citibank for its failure to protect victims of fraud and refusal to reimburse them. It says the lawsuit alleges that Citibank has failed to implement strong online protections to stop unauthorized account takeovers. So stay tuned. We're hoping that banks will be more proactive in trying to protect us from these kind of bank frauds. So we'll see where this lawsuit goes. But it's interesting that somebody is taking a stand on this.
Thank you.
That's
very
all
much.
We've got for today.
Thank you. That's all we've got. But before we go, I'd love it if you'd give the fraud hotline number in case someone wants to get a hold of you, either to report a scam, to ask you about it, or if they want to be on Scam Squad.
My telephone number, and this goes directly to my desk, 805-568-2442. And I'll repeat that, 805-568-2442. And I do welcome your calls. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki. And thanks, Judy. Thanks for being such a great guest again. We always appreciate your expertise.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.